The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
There's a reason that we live so far from Hollywood. In the country, looking hard to find a home. With nothing perfect or considered.
Bonjour, hi, Canada, Hugh Hewitt, Inside the Beltway on the 12th day of November in 2020. My disappointment remains high. The president, in fact, fell further behind in Pennsylvania last night. There is actually no way forward for me. I can't see any way that the president can pull this out, and they have not yet filed any lawsuit that alleges anything that, even if proven, would lead to a reversal of the outcome. So I believe Joe Biden is the president-elect, and I will be referring to him as such, as I believe that is in the tradition of American civic-mindedness. If anything shows up that would cast doubt on that result, I'll be the first to tell you. If I see a lawsuit and read a lawsuit that, if successful, would reverse the result, I will tell you that too. But I don't see it. I think we got to move on to Georgia and win there. And I'll tell you why in just a moment. Let me, though, tell you, if you're one of those people frustrated by the nightmare of this counting, and you realize that Amazon.com can deliver more packages per day than votes are being counted in some states like New York. New York, which is not in play for the presidential election, is an utter catastrophic failure. Andrew Cuomo shouldn't even have a press conference. It's just a catastrophic failure in the vote, of course. California is a little bit better. Two big blue states are catastrophic failures. If you want to have voting reform, there's a petition over at HughHewitt.com. Verify the election, sign the petition. It's not the language I would have used, but it's basically a create a core for people who just are tired of this stuff, who believe that in all of the idiocy of these local election boards, that there's got to be a better way. We've got to audit what happened and improve what happened. There were some changes made after 2000 in Florida, overseen by Republicans, that make Florida a model of efficiency. Those ought to be imposed upon via the spending clause. You can't really impose an election system under the Constitution on any of the states, but you can bribe them to do it. That's how they got the states to raise the drinking age to 18. So if you want an audit and reform, go over to HughHewitt.com and sign that, verify the election, sign the petition. It's at the very top. And we'll collect and try and organize and provide the people who are pushing for reform the names and numbers of people to get in touch with behind that, because it just is silly that we're still counting in New York and California and that we don't have a House yet. We know that the Republicans have won a sweeping victory. President Trump yesterday congratulated Ronna McDaniel, the RNC chairwoman, and that's deserved. Ronna did a great job. The Republicans picked up three state legislative bodies, one governorship, significant gains in the House, and they are going to hold the Senate if they win the Senate races in Georgia. And nobody expected that. Remember the poll that said the president was going to lose Wisconsin by 17 points? That was a suppression poll. That may have cost him the election. People who say, why bother? I'm a Trump supporter. I don't really care about politics. But I'm not going to go if it's 17 points down, you know, 30 miles to town. So it's a suppression. People talk about suppression, suppressing the vote. It happened by the pollsters. There is no way, by the way, that any pollster ought to be believed on the Georgia Senate race except Trafalgar Group. They cannot fix what is wrong with their system, even if they want to. Do not believe any poll about Georgia. You just got to get involved in Georgia. Now, I have tweeted out my ways to get involved in Georgia. If you're going to contribute, I think you should do it through the Senate Majority Fund. Some people are using winred.com, which is fine. But Leader McConnell is the wiliest man in D.C. He's got the best team. And the Senate Leadership Fund is what, the Senate Majority Fund. Make sure I get this right. Let me go look. I always get it confused because there are two of them out there, and one is good and one is not on target. And by not on target, I don't mean corrupt. I just mean it's not on target. It's the Senate Leadership Fund, senateleadershipfund.com. That's run by Mitch. And the Grim Reaper is going to do that to the left wingers, Ossoff and Warnock. John Ossoff is AOC Light. The Reverend Warnock is a radical left winger. I mean, they are way outside the mainstream of the Democratic Party, both of them. But the Reverend Warnock is way, way outside. Yesterday he was asked about court packing. I don't know if we kept that clip. But we got to remind the people of Georgia. And I have here in my hand a list of the affiliates that I have. WCGAM 1100 in Woodbine, which is all of southern Georgia. Based out of Jacksonville, great signal. WCHM 1490 in Clarksville. WCHM FX on 96.7, that's the FM signal in Clarksville. Of course, our big giant bird, AM 920, the answer, WGKA in Atlanta. The big giant signal in Macon, WGST AM 720. We've got WJRB FM 95.1 in Young Harris, Georgia. We've got WJUL AM 1230 in Hiawassee, Georgia. That's up on the northern border. We've got WLBB AM and FM in Carrollton, 1330 and 106.3 in Carrollton. WQEE FM 99.1 in Newman. We've got WRLA 1490 in West Point Valley. We got WWNS AM and WWNS FX FM, that's 1240 AM and 107.77 in Savannah. So I got the state covered, and you all have to know. We have, this is the Reverend Warnock being asked, will you pack the Supreme Court? It's a direct question. Here's what he says.
Was that if Democrats take majority, there would be court packing on the Supreme Court or the federal benches, as well as statehood approved for D.C. and Puerto Rico. So I wanted to ask what your stance is on those, you know, three kind of issues.
I think that they're trying to divide us again. And it's really sad because
it's not hard. Do you support packing the Supreme Court? Yes or no? Do you support massive gun buybacks and seizures? Do you support making D.C. a state? Will you vote to end the filibuster? Those are four yes or no questions. And the Reverend Warnock supports ending the filibuster. The Reverend Warnock supports packing the Supreme Court. The Reverend Warnock does not support your Second Amendment rights. And the Reverend Warnock wants to make D.C. a state. John Ossoff is the same. But the Reverend Warnock has got radical ties going way back. John Ossoff is just AOC light. He's just there for the lights, the camera, the action. He looks in the mirror every morning and sees a president of the United States. He really is the candidate circa 2020. Remember the Robert Redford movie? He really, really is the candidate. Reverend Warnock, he's the real deal, hardcore leftist radical. And Georgia, you decide the fate of the United States. Chuck Schumer told everyone exactly what was on his mind. Let's play cut number one.
Now we take Georgia, and then we change the world.
Yeah!
I'm sorry, can you repeat that, Mr. Schumer?
Now we take Georgia, and then we change America.
We take Georgia and change the world. We take Georgia and change America. Taking Georgia is not a center right or even a moderately left point of view. Taking Georgia is what grasping members of the left do. They take from you the control of your own life. They take from you your views, your values, your cultures, your freedoms. They take from you your taxes. They take from you your guns. Chuck Schumer had a moment of transparent, incandescent honesty. They're going to take Georgia. Now, listen, Georgians, if you live there, by the way, if you can't move there and vote. That's illegal. Appears to be a crime, and I bet it will be prosecuted. If you move to Georgia and you try and register to vote, you move to Georgia for the purposes of voting, I believe that is a crime. I read one analysis yesterday, and I hope they prosecute the heck out of you. You can move to Georgia to volunteer. You can move to Georgia to help out. You can contribute to Georgia, but you may not move to Georgia with the intention of voting and leaving. That's vote fraud. But if you want to help out, go to SenateLeadershipFund.com and contribute. Go to PurdueSenate.com, P-E-R-D-U-E, Senate.com, and KellyForSenate.com and volunteer. Get involved. It's the most important race of your lifetime. Everything is focused on that. The country depends on that. You've got to get there and get involved in Georgia. Whether it's $5 or $50, whatever the contribution limit is, head to SenateLeadershipFund.org and make it. Head to Georgia via PurdueSenate.com and KellyForSenate.com. Volunteer, be involved. Come right back here on the Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. A 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. When I focus on Georgia, it's because of what Chuck Schumer said. Can you play cut number one, please?
Now we take Georgia, and then we change the world.
Yeah!
I'm sorry, can we put down Mr. Schumer?
Now we take Georgia, and then we change America.
The only way we keep America is to win both of those Georgia Senate seats. Kelly Loeffler was campaigning in Georgia with Marco Rubio yesterday. Here is what Senator Loeffler said, cut number 7.
We have been through a battle, but we are not done yet. Look at the work we have to do that Marco just talked about, and it's just the tip of the iceberg. You know, and I want to thank Congressman Collins for his support, for his endorsement, because we as a party, that's right. We are going to lock arms and deliver this country. We are going to deliver the American dream. The road to socialism does not run through Georgia. So you may have heard, now we take Georgia, then we change America. Well, you know what? That's right. No way. Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi, you're not going to take Georgia. It's ours. That's right. You know, we have no interest in your Green New Deal and your socialized medicine and turning the DMV into the doctor's office. We don't need high taxes. We don't need job-crushing regulations. What we need is the American dream, that opportunity that can lift every single American up. That's right. But let me tell you, we do have a choice between socialism and the American dream. And let me tell you why. Let me tell you a little bit more about my opponent. Marco's exactly right. Raphael Warnock celebrated Fidel Castro in his church. He has a Marxist ideology. Why is he running for the Senate? We don't know. Let's have him answer for that. But what you need to know is in our own communities, he doesn't care about the things we care about. In our debate, maybe you saw our debate, I asked him if he would apologize for calling police officers gangsters, thugs, bullies, and a threat to our children. He declined. He would not apologize for that. Look, that's right. We back the blue. We will always back the blue. That's right. But it gets worse than that, if it can even get worse. I mean, the list goes on and on. We don't have much time here. But look, he's also celebrated Jeremiah Wright's goddamn America prophets. He called him a prophet. We cannot have that in our country. I say, God bless America. Right. And, you know, and he's I love you guys. Thank you so much. Thank you. I couldn't do this without you guys. I'm telling you, I'm not a politician. You know that. I'm not a politician. But I am here to help save our country with David Perdue. David Perdue and I have worked tirelessly throughout this year to stand up for Georgia. You know you have an outsized voice in Washington because of David and I, and we will always stand up and speak for you. Yeah. That's right. You know, and I think you should know that we're fighting for American opportunity, not socialism. That's why David and I have worked to help get America back to work, not to keep us locked down. Raphael Warnock wants to keep us locked down. He wants to support Joe Biden's mandates where we all shelter in our homes and where we shut this economy down. That's right. He protested churches reopening. They want to take away our religious freedom in this country. We're not going to let them. So look, there's so much work to do here. Let me just tell you that you have someone in me, in David, that will never stop working for the American dream. But we need y'all to be involved. And you did it. You're doing it right now. So today, please make sure that you visit kellyforsenate.com. We have so many ways to sign up and get involved, to work with David and I, with David, Bonnie, and I, and my Senate colleagues across the country are going to be supporting us. But it's all going to happen in Georgia. So we need you to sign up, volunteer, talk to 500 people about why this election matters for the future of our country. It's all on the line. All eyes in this country are in Georgia. We are going to save the country. So look, that's right.
That is Kelly Loeffler, Senator Loeffler, campaigning with Marco Rubio. Just remember, Chuck Schumer has vowed to take Georgia. I don't think that's going to happen, but you have to register by December 7th, Georgia. And you have to vote on January 5th. And everyone in the United States, go to SenateLeadershipFund.com and get involved. If you are so inclined, come right back here. Admiral Stav Reedy is next on the Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. I want to do a market report brought to you by Birch Gold. And you can go to HughGold.com to buy the gold that you want. You can just buy it from BirchGold.com. Or you can text my name, Hugh, H-U-G-H, to 474747. Birch Gold, though, also operates the very best smooth transition to a 401 IRA that is backed by precious metals. And you can do that at HughGold.com. Okay, I'm stalling a little bit because waiting for Admiral Stav Reedy to come along. Good morning, Admiral. How are you?
Good morning. How are we doing?
I am great. I got to ask you, I kept you out of politics for a month before the election. I don't want you to be in politics. People don't think of you as political. And I think that's in the best tradition of the military. Is that the aim of most retired officers, Admiral?
It absolutely is. And, I'm always happy to talk about policy, but I'm a registered independent, always have been, and plan to stay that way.
Well, that is the way I like it, and that is the way we need it in this country. But I got to ask you, you're retired, and I assume if the phone call came from President-elect Biden to ask you to serve, you're the kind of guy who would serve. My question is, this is a blue sky question. If you had a choice of any embassy in the world, I have higher ambitions for you than that, but if you had a choice of any embassy in the world to go and represent the United States in, would it be Beijing?
Certainly that would be tempting. It would also be, for me, exciting to go be the ambassador to NATO, having been a Supreme Allied Commander. But I think those are indeed blue sky thoughts. I'll conclude by saying I'm also someone who has a great deal of respect for Japan, and I think has an immense contribution to the alliance system. And I think India would be very interesting. Now, that was my flight of fantasy for the moment, and I enjoyed it.
Now, let me bring you down to earth, because I really want to talk to you about becoming Secretary of Defense, Secretary of State, or our U.N. ambassador. And I say this because you interviewed with President Trump to become Secretary of State, did you not?
I did.
And I know that Secretary Clinton would have considered you a Secretary of State, because literally there's no place on the map you haven't been, and there's no place on the map that you haven't got friends. And I think you know the Pentagon pretty well. How many years did you put in the Pentagon working with Rummy and everybody else?
I'd say if you added up all my years in the Pentagon, it was about 8 or 10 years, somewhere in that range, 8 to 10.
So I'm not asking you whether you're competing for those jobs. I'm just asking if any of them were offered to you, would you accept?
I am always willing to serve. And beyond that, I think these are good questions to ask the Biden administration or the Biden campaign.
Not there you go. I just like to tell people in my audience what I think would make sense. They named Ron Klain, who I know as the chief of staff incoming to the president-elect. I think Ron is very, very smart. I think he is about as good a hope as any Republican conservative like me could hope for. Do you happen to know him?
I do, just slightly, from when I was Supreme Allied Commander. We interacted a bit during his period of time with the vice president. I have a great deal of respect for him, and I think he's a terrific choice.
Now I want to turn to Navy questions, Admiral Stavridis. How important is the timely replacement of the Ohio-class boomer with the Columbia-class boomer to the security of the United States?
I think it's crucial. Let's face it, the absolutely invulnerable leg of our nuclear triad is, without question, the ballistic missile submarines. Both the siloed intercontinental missiles and the long-range strategic bombers have real roles to play, in my view. But the absolutely invulnerable leg is that subsurface piece. And, you know, let's face it, our ballistic missile submarines are getting old and they've got to be replaced. It's just like any other piece of equipment. And I think the administration, the Trump administration, was right to prioritize that. And I suspect you'll see the Biden administration do exactly the same thing.
Now, the reason I bring that up is because now I want to talk about Naval Submarine Base Kings Bay in Georgia. Obviously, Georgia matters a lot to the future of the United States right now. And I'm guessing that Admiral Stavridis or Captain Stavridis, or I know you're not a submariner, but I'll bet you you've been to Naval Submarine Base Kings Bay.
Oh, sure. Many times. And it's, by the way, it's about 45 minutes from where I am right now.
Oh, really? So it's that close to the Florida border?
Oh, absolutely. Just over the Florida border.
Okay, so how important is this base to the security of the United States?
It is crucial. And I think that along with its counterpart, Bangor, Washington, on the West Coast, it's absolutely central to our ability to operate these ballistic missile submarines.
Now, you know, one time I was in Norfolk and I saw a boomer coming out. I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen it but one time.
Yeah.
It really is something to make you take your breath away. I really thought until relatively recently, they were all on the West Coast or in Norfolk. I didn't even know about Kings Bay.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, we want to spread those submarines out, and you don't want to put all your eggs in any one basket. And by the way, these are big, magnificent warships. What you saw, even when it was on the surface, is only a small portion of that boat. I mean, those are, to put it in perspective, an Arleigh Burke destroyer, which I commanded, is about 9,000 tons. These submarines are 18,000 tons, Hugh. And the mass of them is always underwater, even when they're operating kind of, quote, on the surface. And the area in which they put the ballistic missiles are in vertical tubes, and it's so spacious as you walk through it, they call it Sherwood Forest.
Huh. So tell me, Admiral, when they have to, I've read up on Kings Bay, and when Tridents and Ohio-class submarines need maintenance, they go there. Is that the only retrofit facility for, I'm sure we're going to have to keep some of these at sea longer than they were expected to be. Is all of that work done at Kings Bay?
To my knowledge, the work is done at Kings Bay and again at Bangor, Washington on the West Coast.
And so this is vital to the United States security. And so that's why now this is an abstract question. It's not about, I know you don't get involved in the Senate races. Does a senator from a state have a lot to do with the fiscal health of the facilities that operate therein?
I don't think so, particularly. Let's face it, the facilities of any state, I'm down here in Florida, I think our governor focuses on military bases in Florida. I don't think the senators get particularly involved in it, unless they happen to be on the Senate Armed Services Committee.
And Senator Inhofe actually gets involved more than anybody else as chairman of that committee.
Absolutely. And in that capacity, every senator on that committee has responsibility across the United States and across the world for the U.S. Military. And let me go back in the sense that every elected representative, senators and representatives for a state are going to generally support military facilities in those states, certainly.
I won't put you on the spot. I disagree with that about Reverend Warnock, but we'll come back. Let me ask you now, generally speaking, about a Biden administration and the Department of Defense. I think President Trump won because of in 2016 because of the military and judges. And I am most concerned about military spending. I don't have much hope for judges under President-elect Biden, but I have a lot of concern about military spending. Do you think, especially the Navy, that the Democrats generally are navalist in orientation and will support the reinvigoration of the American fleet?
I think it really runs the spectrum in the party. I think it'd be hard to count Alexis Ocasio-Cortez as a navalist. On the other hand, you can...
I think you meant Alexandria. I think you said Alexis. I think you meant Alexandria. Yeah.
Of course I did. AOC. But I think that as a general proposition, sure, you can find Democrats that support the fleet. You can find Republicans that support the fleet. Bottom line, with the Biden administration, I'm pretty confident defense budgets will remain flat. I don't see a big increase in them. But I think there'll be a sense that they'll want to increase the fleet because of the competition with China that's coming, Q. And you and I have talked about this quite a bit, and I think that will be front and center for a new administration coming in.
I had a senior Republican tell me that, in fact, the Navy rebuild, which is sort of stalled out, and I actually believe that's one of the reasons why Secretary Esper was relieved this week, is that we didn't get to 355. We didn't even get a plan to 355. We got a plan to 500 that counts on different kinds of submerged vehicles. But that the senior Republican said the Democrats will be better to the Navy than the Republicans were, but the rest of the military might not fare so well. What do you make of that assessment?
Well, I think that whichever party won this election, we would see within the Department of Defense a move toward not only increasing maritime capability, but better cybersecurity, better special forces, better unmanned vehicles. I think all of those trends are moving because of the potential competition with China, Hugh. So whether there was a Republican or a Democrat coming in January, my sense is that there'll be emphasis in those areas. And I think some of the bill payers will be on the Army side, large land formations. I think there'll be perhaps some slowdown in the modernization of the nuclear programs, although, as you and I just talked about, I think the subsurface portion of that is safe. So either way, the trends are going to be driven by peer competition with China. And well, I think maritime will get its day in court, and I think do pretty well in that competition.
Last question, Admiral. Yesterday I did off-the-record conversation with a senior Democrat. I mean, every American knows who this Democrat is, for a very small group of people watching. And this individual is confident that a Biden administration is not going to be soft on China, is not going to immediately run over and undo everything the president and Secretary Pompeo have done, that, in fact, reality is reality for both parties. Do you agree with that?
I do agree with that. And in fact, when I talk about China, I often say to people, this is one area where I think it'll be pretty clear that we're going to have to confront China in a variety of ways. We're going to have to find ways to cooperate with China as well. But I think either administration would have to take that course, confront where we must, cooperate where we can. I think that reality has dawned on both the Republican and the Democratic Party.
Admiral James Stavridis is retired United States Navy, former allied Supreme Commander of NATO and of Southern Command. Thank you, as always, my friend. Stay healthy down there and get back to D.C. sometime.
I will. Thanks so much, Hugh. See you soon. Bye-bye.
I want to finish by telling you what I was saying. Birchgold.com. I mean HughGold.com to get to Birch Gold. And you really do need to do that. The market report from yesterday is that it was a mixed market. The NASDAQ was up 232 points and is poised for another big day today, but the Dow was down 21 as people try and figure out the third wave of the pandemic is coming before the vaccine gets here. People know that, and that's what the market was reflecting yesterday. Gold is up to $1,869 this morning. Still a good time to buy at HughGold.com or text my name to 474747. Welcome back, America. Joined by from Israel by former Ambassador of the United States, Michael Oren. Good morning, Mr. Ambassador. How are you?
I'm good, Hugh. Good to be with you.
No time to write short stories for the sequel to The Night Archer, which is a terrific book if people need something to divert their minds from this transition underway in the United States. But I am curious, when you were ambassador to the United States, I am guessing that the incoming chief of staff, Ron Klain, and you were pretty good friends. Am I right?
I knew him.
What do you make of his appointment? What does it portend to you?
And not that much. You know, they're all different types of chief of staff. There's a chief of staff who worries about whether the light bulbs are screwed in right, and the chief of staff that actually guides policy. When I came into Washington, it was Rahm Emanuel, and he was not the guy who changed light bulbs. He made policy. Some of the later chiefs of staff, whose names aren't even remembered, did not do policy the way he did.
So who else did you work with in that job? I really want Americans to understand this is probably the most important job in government not named president, and people don't know that. Maybe Secretary of Defense because of the chain of command, but I do believe the chief of staff at the White House, the importance of it is hard to overestimate.
Again, it depends on how his role is defined. I mean, a lot of the chiefs of staff under the Obama administration, he changed them quite frequently. People are always talking about how frequently Trump changed senior staff members. You know, Obama went through 3-4 national security advisors very, very fast, and not just in burnout. The chief of staff can be very, very influential. Rahm Emanuel, I know, helped really drive the policy toward Israel, the animosity toward Netanyahu, the emphasis on the settlements, the emphasis put on the Palestinian problem, and ultimately also the pivot toward Iran in the Middle East.
Now, Michael, this is important to me, and I want people to hear this. Already there are some members on the left side of the Democratic Party, the Obama foreign policy establishment in exile, who want to resurrect the Joint Comprehensive Program of Action, the ill-fated Iran deal, which was such a disaster. They want to do so not because it was a good deal, but because it makes President Obama look good. I don't believe it can be resurrected. I don't think there's a chance. But what do you see?
We have to prepare for the fact that it will be resurrected. And for us, this is a strategic danger to every citizen of this country. I think it's a strategic danger to just about everybody in the Middle East. It gives Iran tens and tens of billions of dollars that they're not going to spend on schools and hospitals, right? They're going to make more and more missiles in the hands of terrorists. They're going to make more intercontinental ballistic missiles that can hit the United States. And that deal does nothing but nothing to really dismantle Iran's nuclear program. In fact, it guarantees that in 7 years when the deal expires, Iran will be able to make not just one bomb, but make hundreds of bombs. So it is a complete and utter disaster. And it's a betrayal. You know, many people used to talk about, certainly on the left, that President Trump had betrayed his allies in Europe and the Far East. As far as I know, the United States is still a member of NATO. But this agreement was negotiated behind our backs, lying to our faces on a daily basis to us and to the Arab world. It was a betrayal. And I think it would be a tremendous tragedy, historic tragedy, and an injustice.
Now, Ambassador Oren, whoever is nominated for Secretary of State will go through a Senate confirmation process that I believe will be run by the Republicans. I hope so. And I believe they will be asked about this, and I believe they ought to make undertakings that they will not seek to resurrect the JCPOA, give more money, et cetera. I don't know how that's going to go, but I would not confirm anyone who is committed to the JCPOA. I couldn't vote for them in good conscience. Do you expect the Republican senators to try and throw up roadblocks to this?
I would deeply hope so. I try to stay out of American politics. This is not a matter of politics. It's a matter of life and death. It's a matter of security of my children, my grandchildren. And I can't remain silent. And I know that other Israelis, many of them associated, by the way, with the left, will not remain silent on this.
And is there anyone on the shortlist, like Chris Coons, for Secretary of State, whom you would trust in that role more than anybody else to not sell out the state of Israel a second time?
Well, I do trust Coons. Him. I like him very much. I've had a lot of interaction with him. But I also know that there are other candidates who are committed to this agreement and served in senior positions in the Obama administration.
Yeah, I don't think Susan Rice can be confirmed. I'll just state that right now. I would expect a filibuster. I would expect holds. I just do not believe she can be confirmed. That gang cannot be allowed to run Foggy Bottom. I don't know if you have a comment on that, Dr. Warren.
Well, I know Tony Blinken rather well. And I know him to be a fine person, an honest person. And I don't think he would leap back into this agreement so readily.
Yeah, I don't. I've heard him. I'm impressed by him. He's not who I'm worried about. I'm worried about Susan Rice and Ben Rhodes. And it's not personal. It's just they don't have any idea what they're doing. Dr. Oren, last 30 seconds to you.
Well, my problem is I think they do know what they're doing.
Huh.
and that's where the problems begin. I think they want to pivot toward Iran. They want to abandon Israel as an ally, and not just Israel. It's the United Arab Emirates. It's Bahrain. It's Oman. It's Egypt. It's the Sunni Arab world that is united with us in a strategic alliance against Iran.
The only good news, Ambassador Oren, if they do that, they will get wiped out in 2022. I mean, wiped out, because the American people are onto this game now. Dr. Michael Oren on Twitter, Dr. Michael Oren. Thank you, my friend. The Night Archer is an amazing book, America. Go and get it and come right back here to the Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.